Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Power Hour coming up next hour, about 20 minutes from now. All our picks for tonight, Major League Baseball, NBA, Nicky football with some soccer thoughts for Friday and for the Champions League semifinals, NFL draft conversation with Ken and myself coming up in the final hour. But right now, we're going to do some NFL. We'll do some NBA with our buddy Drew Densick, better known to you and yours as the Whale Capper. He is on Twitter at @whale_capper. He works for like a million places at this point. You know the deep dive pod with our buddy Andy Molitor, NBC Sports Edge. He's all over the place. He's great, and we love having him on the show. Whale, welcome back to You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken, BetQL Audio Network, on a Thursday. Before we talk some sports here, and I'll let Ken start us off with some NFL draft. In the last segment, we played a game that we are calling Richie Werenski after the PGA golfer, where we give the name of an athlete, and we have to say, if this person were not an athlete, what would this person do for a living? Like Richie Werenski, for instance, plumber on the south side of Chicago, based on his name. So I ask you, Drew Densick, if Drew Densick did not bet on sports for a living and like study earthquakes or whatever it is you do in California, what would Drew Densick do for a living?
Based on name alone?
Based on name alone.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is tough. Definitely, I'm gonna go with professional surfer.
Okay, not bad.
Drew Densick, professional surfer, love it. They're gonna be like, like probably like male model who then becomes president of the United States, probably. In addition to playing Richie Werenski earlier in the show, we've also spent a considerable amount of time already, honestly, even early on in the show, talking about literally like one NFL draft topic. Talked about it with Rob Pizzola. Nick and I also talked about it to open the show. And that's basically the third overall pick, which is one of the few markets you can bet on right now in the NFL draft. And who's it going to be? And, you know, Mac Jones was the favorite for a while. Now Justin Fields seems to have kind of overtaken them in very low limit betting markets. I know, Nick mentioned that you had some kind of strong opinions about Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and the third overall pick. We'd love for you to share those.
Yeah. I mean, the market's finally shifting back in the direction that I think is more correct. I thought a lot of the initial move in favor of Mac Jones was based on some speculative soft reporting by NFL insiders. And, you know, none of it really ever made solid sense to me. I've kind of in the initial moment you hear the reports and you're like, Mac Jones, what? No, they didn't give up those assets for Mac Jones. No way. And then, you know, you hear who's reporting it and you think, well, oh man, the betting market is moving. These people are saying it. Maybe it must be true. Right. And then you start, you know, it took me about maybe 48 hours thinking hard about it before I kind of came around to, okay, let's look a little bit into the history of, Shanahan and Lynch. Do they have, you know, are they more on the, close to the vest, disinformation, or are they more of the very transparent type? And I would look towards last year's draft and the year before and say, you know, these guys were playing games with the analysts, with the media. 2 years ago, they clearly were only had eyes for Nick Bosa. And then even up to the day of the draft, you had reports from guys like Ian Rappaport that, San Francisco's brought, you know, they want to talk to Quinnen Williams again. They haven't made up their mind. You know, Quinnen Williams could go number two. And then, you know, after the draft is over, it's like, that was never a realistic possibility. And, you know, last year, you know, I think every mock had a wide receiver going to them in the 12, 13 range. And you had all these reports about, well, who do they really like? I'm hearing Ruggs. I'm hearing Judy. I'm hearing Lamb. And then they had their chance at all three of those players, made a trade, dropped back down in the draft and got Kinlaw, who I guess they had eyes for the entire time to replace the production of DeForest Buckner, who they traded to the Colts. So I was like, okay, like these guys pretty clearly, oh yeah. And then by the way, later in that round, they took Brandon Ayuk. So it's like, yeah, there's a pretty clear signal here that these guys are playing the media. They're playing the disinformation game, you know, to their advantage, and they're doing a good job of it. And so after kind of digesting that and thinking about it, it's like, okay, well, let's assume that they're, you know, full of it about Jones. Well, you know, a lot of people would ask initially, like, well, why would they be? And I would initially say, well, they covet Jones. I mean, they covet Fields to the point that they don't want the Jets to overthink the number two pick. I mean, really, that's the only risk that you have if you are, you know, if you hold Fields up as, you know, the future of your franchise and you want to make sure you get him at three, it's imperative that you don't somehow, give the Jets some incentive to kind of go back to the drawing board and reevaluate their decision making and decide, actually, you know what, Fields might be the better pick than Zach Wilson here. Let's take Fields. And then all of a sudden you're stuck with, maybe a Zach Wilson who you didn't have as highly rated as Fields. So, you know, I think if you float Jones, you gain a little bit of that kind of psyops on the Jets where, you know, the Jets are like, wow, they've traded all of these assets to go from 12 to 3 for Mac Jones. We better give Mac Jones a second look. And they give Mac Jones a second look compared to Zach Wilson. And they say, okay, no, we're good. Zach Wilson works. We're going to stick with Zach Wilson. Right. And then similarly, I think it's not crazy that, that they were floating some of the Mac Jones stuff to guys like Schefter, guys in the media before the deal was finalized with the Dolphins, because that way, you know, if somebody, you know, if it gets leaked that you're negotiating to move up to the three, the first thing every other NFL team is going to try to do is figure out, well, who's it for? Because if it's for a player that we also want, then we can, you know, swoop in and give a godfather offer to the Dolphins and steal that trade opportunity away from you. So you float a little, oh, it's Mac Jones. You know, you tell Schefter, you tell, Mel Kiper Jr., whoever, if Mac Jones, we're going to consider trading up to three for Mac Jones, you know? And then, you know, that way when the deal, you know, finally gets consummated, no one who had eyes for, to trade up to the four, for instance, and try to get Fields, is going to be able to scoop you on that swap. So, you know, I get why they would do what they were doing, you know, kind of playing the media like this, but even beyond sort of all the shenanigans that go on with the draft, is Fields the right player for Shanahan's system? 1,000,000%. Yes. Is Fields the perfect fit in every which way that for, you know, what Shanahan wants to do? I would say absolutely. He hasn't had a mobile quarterback since RG3. Obviously, you know, Fields' durability is, you know, infinity X what RG3's was at the time that they even drafted him. So I think he probably relishes the opportunity of working with the mobile quarterback again. Fields can make every throw on the field and, you know, and do it with ease. And that just, you know, will amplify Shanahan's system, which is already one of the best in the NFL. And then maybe, you know, to take the durability a step further, you know, Shanahan has probably had some PTSD for the last 3 years. He's been, you know, dealing with these glass quarterbacks who just can't stay healthy. And like, now he looks at a guy like Fields and it's like, okay, well, this guy is perfect for our system. We've known him since he was 2017 in high school. He checked every box for, you know, what we want the future of our franchise to be. And oh, by the way, he's such a durable player. He played through broken ribs in the national title semifinal game. So, you know, there are a lot of really positive things to look at in terms of this fit, in my opinion. And so the fact that, you know, we're all kind of connecting, you know, about the beginning of April. And I started scooping up every opportunity I could to get some exposure on Fields going third overall. And I'm not saying that this is a done deal at this point by any stretch of the imagination, but I've certainly talked myself into it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You better you bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking NFL draft here with our buddy Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper. Well, I want to play devil's advocate here, and I'm not saying you're wrong about anything you've said, but do you think that like the connection between the Jets, their new head coach, their offensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, Matt LaFleur, or Mike LaFleur, whatever LaFleur is, that's not the Green Bay Packers head coach, the other LaFleur, Mike LaFleur, having been in San Francisco with Shanahan, do we feel like Shanahan probably knows what they're going to do? And vice versa? Do you think there's some subterfuge going on? Like, I just think that's a fascinating subplot here and something maybe to consider. Maybe I'm kind of reading too much into it here. Do you think that's something to maybe consider here? The relationship between the brass for both these teams and that they all used to work together in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, I would point that to anyone who would ask, well, why would they float disinformation? Who cares at this point? Like we get, you know, the market has kind of settled on the fact that Zach Wilson is going second. You know, who cares if San Francisco goes out there and sings from the rooftops and professes their love for Justin Fields? Who cares? And I would say, well, the connection between the brass, the connection between the head coach and the offensive coordinator and Shanahan's system, you know, they're very, very interested, I would guess, in who Shanahan covets because I would guess they respect his opinion immensely. And, you know, I think if San Francisco is being forthright and true with, you know, who they intend to pick with that third pick, then the Jets would be giving that player some additional scrutiny, some additional consideration. And this could have another wrinkle, like the fact that it's still 2 weeks away and, you know, people are starting to kind of put the puzzle pieces together here. You know, would the Jets go back at this point and redo some of their homework on Fields and come to the same conclusion that actually this guy is a better prospect and actually this guy might fit our system better. And, you know, maybe we should consider him over Zach Wilson. And that's possible. And if that were to happen, that would entirely change, you know, the fabric of, you know, how the NFL shakes out over the next couple of years. I personally hold Fields higher in terms of his ceiling as an NFL quarterback, specifically in the Shanahan system, than I do Zach Wilson. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson is going to be a bust for the Jets like every other quarterback they've drafted in my lifetime. But I do think that he is he's a much rougher prospect and he's going to have, more growing pains, you know, in the first handful of years. So it would change the trajectory of the NFL to a degree. And I'm staring at the disparity between the two conferences right now. Like the AFC is absolutely stacked and now you're going to send Trevor Lawrence there on top of it. Right. And the AFC is absolutely stacked. And you're sending Trevor Lawrence there. The NFC is wide freaking open. And you put a player like Fields and Shanahan together, I think you are talking about, you know, a perennial, you know, favorite in that conference over the course of his 5-year, rookie deal. So it would be, you know, it would definitely change sort of the way that the NFL will play out over this next 5 years, in my opinion. And this is, you know, being that this is such a quarterback heavy draft and these guys are all legit. Like we haven't even said anything about Trey Lance, and Trey Lance looks to be a bona fide prospect as well. He's going to make some team, you know, a true contender, in my opinion, once he kind of gets his legs under him in the NFL. So assuming he falls into the right system. So, you know, it's a very exciting time to be an NFL fan with all of these quarterbacks coming in. And depending on where the chips lay, I think it's going to tell you a lot about the next 5 years in terms of competitive balance in the NFL.
Well, great stuff. Follow Drew on Twitter at @whale_capper. Good luck with the NBA tonight. Next time we'll do some NBA on the show, but this was just too interesting. And we'll definitely get you on before the NFL draft. Whale, appreciate you, brother.
Hey, best of luck, guys. And, love what you guys are doing. If you want, and love to talk some more NFL draft with you next week.
We will definitely be doing this. That is our buddy, yeah. Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper here on You Better, You Bet. Kind of a developing story, which we're not going to get like into the details of it, but some concerning stuff with Mac Jones, old tweets and pictures starting to surface on social media that we have not confirmed like the authenticity of this, but it's starting to make the rounds right now. So not saying he's guilty or anything like that, but just There's a lot going on right now as it concerns this third overall pick. Take a quick break. Power Hour coming up right after this.